For job seekers and change makers, this is the Green Jobs Pod with your host, me, Leonard Adler.
Welcome to the Green Jobs Pod. I'm your host, Leonard Adler. And on today's episode, I'm thrilled to have a guest with us today. And that guest is Matthew Carmel. I've known Matthew for about a year. And in that time, it's really been great to get to know him. And one of the reasons I'm excited to have him on the podcast today is, as you know, one of the things I speak a lot about is that there's a place for you in this space. If you want to work on climate issues, if you want to be part of the green jobs movement, there's a place for you in the space. And so it's really exciting to have someone who can speak to opportunities in the legal profession. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Matthew to tell us a little bit about the work that he does right now and the path that has led him to it.
Thanks, Leonard. I'm a principal at Offen Kerman Law Firm, which is a full-service Am Law 200 law firm in the United States. I'm the head of their environmental and sustainability practice, and I've built a national practice that combines traditional environmental law matters with cutting-edge sustainability representation. And, you know, but that's not where I started, right? I started all the way back in law school thinking I was going to go into bankruptcy work and be a bankruptcy attorney. And I randomly got assigned to an environmental case and loved it and started going down that path. But even that wasn't really fully climate focused, right? That was more traditional environmental hazardous substance cleanups, those kinds of, you know, natural resource protection, which is important and has climate impacts, but isn't sort of at the cutting edge like renewable energy or clean tech or, you know, zero waste or things like that. And so in my career, I started out doing the, you know, traditional environmental work and thought, how can I get more into climate? And I found a series of ways, took me several years, you know, to go from someone who was an employee, you know, at a company that wasn't doing primarily climate work, wasn't really doing much climate work at all, and transition myself such that I'm doing substantial climate work as part of my legal practice every day, and am the head of the environmental sustainability practice for my law firm, which is a 300-person law firm. So it's been a really interesting journey to move that distance and to get to work on renewable energy projects, clean tech, you know, sustainable consumer goods, zero waste, food waste, compostability, just like a huge thing and a diversity of climate topics, because there's a whole lot of different ways to work on climate. Not only do I believe, as you said in the opening, that there are pathways for everyone to climate, but one of the reasons there are pathways for everyone to climate is because there are so many ways to work on climate. And I think that the legal profession provides this kind of interesting lens, because all companies need legal counsel and climate companies need legal counsel too. So it's sometimes a non-climate skill impacting a climate business or something like that. And so it's just, you know, finding the path. The legal framework is an interesting piece of framework for the climate movement.
Definitely congratulations on being able to make that transition. I think it's inspiring, and I think it is for a lot of people who'd be listening to the podcast. One of the things I know about you as I've gotten to know you is, in addition to kind of creating your own pathway and making your own contributions, you're doing things to help a lot of other people get into this field. And so that's really exciting. So if you can speak to that, I think it's called the Planetary Lawyer Project.
Yes, it's something I'm very excited about. It's a passion project that I started about 2 years ago, which it started out as a simple newsletter where I was posting jobs that I could find that were climate-focused legal jobs, and also just sharing some tips and tricks that I had come up with of how I incorporated climate into my legal practice, how I went from, you know, being an associate who didn't have any of his own climate clients to having a robust climate practice, a diverse climate practice. We've grown over the last 2 years to over 1,000 lawyers worldwide who subscribe to the newsletter. We've had numerous events, and our, you know, marquee event over the last year was we did a climate pro bono boot camp, which was basically, you know, pro bono is a specific term for professional volunteering that is used often in the legal industry. So it was a 2-day event where we were teaching lawyers how to do climate related volunteer work with their legal skills. And we drew over 700 people over the 2 days. And it was very exciting to get that kind of reaction. And yes, it's very meaningful to me to get to share, you know, this, the resources, the things that have worked for me with the rest of the legal community. And just to be this, you know, I like to get on my soapbox and just say, there's a way for everyone to do this.
So I think there, you know, people I can imagine who might be listening, some people may be earlier in their careers, potentially thinking about the law. Some people might, you know, already be engaged in a legal occupation and maybe, you know, curious about opportunities that they can transition in some capacity. I'm wondering, given the diversity of experiences you've talked about, if you can share what some of those kind of tangible ways that people can use their legal skills in the field.
Yeah. And I think people often start out thinking, I have to be in environmental law to do climate. And that's just not the case, right? Like as a piece, that's a myth I like to dispel, because so much of the work that I've been able to do, although I have an environmental background, has not been environmental, right? Like there have been interesting greenwashing things, which is more litigation counseling, those kinds of things, which are more climate focused. But even so, there are plenty of clients that I have that are climate companies that need more specific things, that need real estate permitting advice, transactional advice, that need insurance advice, that need all of these different other types of advice. And so it's one of the reasons that I say there's jobs for everyone in the legal field with all different kinds of skills, right? Like I see jobs for unemployment lawyers at climate companies, for IP, for intellectual property, for all these different kinds of things. So there's so many jobs. Climate companies are no different than any other companies. And we need a lot of different people doing a lot of different skills to scale those companies. But otherwise, right, if we're talking personally about getting yourself involved in climate matters, for me, I started with volunteering. That was the way that I got there, because it was so much less daunting than walking out and trying to convince a senior partner somewhere, or, you know, CEO of a company to give a shot to someone who at the time was very junior, very young. I just went out into my community and found people who needed volunteer legal help and gave it. And then the next day I was doing it, right? I was doing climate work. I was working on policy. I was working on contracts. I was doing these volunteer activities. And at the same time, building skills, building connections, building a network, building a reputation. And really, a lot of my early success was due to that. And then I think the other thing that I did that was really helpful and successful was finding ways to get in front of climate businesses, right? Going to specific industry group conferences, joining like virtual networking groups, like just going to where there were climate people, climate businesses, talking about their problems and their concerns, and seeing, okay, if I talk to enough people, my skills are going to overlap with someone's problem at some point in time. And also, I'm going to understand their businesses so much more, and that's going to provide value. And that's another piece that I think drove some of my very early success, which was I knew some businesses inside and out. And these were very niche climate businesses like composting. I knew the composting industry inside and out. And you wouldn't think there's that much legal work in the composting industry, but there's a lot of legal work everywhere. And that holds true for everything. There's a lot of work to be done to make these things happen. There's a lot of accounting work. There's a lot of design and marketing work. There's a lot of sales work everywhere. And if you immerse yourself in something that you're passionate about, you'll see the openings.
You know, that's great. I think there's a couple things to maybe pull out a couple points. One, I think something you just spoke to is when it comes to legal practice areas, again, there's a diversity of practice areas, ways that people can contribute. So you gave the example, if you have a background in employment law, there's pathways for you. Or let's say you have an experience working on M&A transactions, there can be a pathway for you. Intellectual property is another example you gave, real estate. So the fact that there's not necessarily one specific practice area, that's the pathway. I think that's an important item to pull out. So people kind of, particularly if you're, let's say, earlier in your career, or even if you're thinking of transitioning, that there's not just one way. I think that's important. I think some of the other things you're speaking to, because something I want to actually ask you is, given, you know, your experience, what tips would you have for people that want to try to make that entree into the field. So you've definitely been speaking to, at least from my perspective, a number of those types of tips, you know, in describing your experience regarding, you know, finding a way to volunteer so you can have something to demonstrate, you know, on your resume, as well as you get that learning experience, kind of the getting in front of people, the networking, because it's not just what you know, it's who you know. So I think you've been giving some great tips as you've been telling your story. I'm wondering if there's other tips you'd have for people who are thinking about trying to make that transition or initial entree.
Yeah, and I think a newsletter issue that I just published for the Planetary Lawyer Project would be pretty helpful in this regard. It's 17 simple ways to get climate clients. And we can share the link in the notes. And it basically goes through 17 tools that I've used, attending conferences, writing articles, finding networking groups, doing volunteer work. And this is something that I really like. And so I'll take a second to dwell on it and encourage people to go check out the link to see more ideas. But don't volunteer just within your skill set, right? Like it's easy for me to go volunteer and do legal work, but I find it is really great sometimes to decide, no, I'm not going to volunteer and go do legal work. I've done farm gleaning, right? Gone out and picked produce from farms and there's 6 or 7 or 8 other people there who are interested in the same thing. And it's a break, right? It's a day spent out in the sun, not at my desk, not at my office. I get refreshed, recharged. And it's a totally different thing. Uses different parts of my brain. It just really enlivens me. And I've done the same thing. I've helped out with marketing for some nonprofits. So I've done climate-related volunteering that has nothing to do with my skill set, just because there's labor that's needed, especially at the nonprofit stage. And I feel like when you're giving and getting at the same time, it's just, you know, it just creates magic and things happen. So it's one of the tips I highly recommend.
Great. And then because the topic of volunteering has come up a few times, are there particular resources? And again, this may be on the Planetary Lawyer Project, or we can add them in the show notes, that how can someone find a volunteer legal opportunity?
Yes. And there's two good ways to find volunteer legal opportunities if that's what you're trying to do. Taking a step back, there are several sort of climate-focused volunteering matching groups, but that's one of the great ways to do it, is to find a matching group. And one of the organizations is called Green Pro Bono, and I'll make sure to get that into the show notes. They're a great organization that sends out emails with opportunities. I've done a lot of work with them and have had a lot of success. And the other is, just let your community know that you're interested in helping. And it will take longer to find a pro bono or volunteer opportunity, I assure you, but it'll be so much more meaningful. Like the volunteer opportunities I've got from talking with my network have just been really, really valuable and rewarding.
That's great. Which then leads me to something else, which is, what are some of the benefits from doing this work? To you personally?
Yeah. So the benefits of volunteering are, right, skills development, right? I try to target volunteer work a lot of times in an area where I want to learn, grow, do something different. So I'm developing skills in a specific area. I'm developing knowledge of an industry usually, or a subject matter, even beyond skills, right? I'm also making connections. The number of times where I have to call on someone to help, like there was a project I was working on, that was a volunteer pro bono policy development thing. And so I had to talk to this person at this company, and then talk to this person at this governmental agency, and then talk to this private lawyer, and then talk to this business CEO, and go through all those pieces. And they all wanted to take my calls because they knew that I was doing something good, right? My email asked for, hey, I'd like to meet with you, is, I'm working on this volunteer project and you have critical feedback to provide. And then they took my next call, which had nothing to do with that. And so it's just all of those different pieces. And this is also a community where we value that, right? The community that we're seeking to be engaged in values this kind of work. And so, not that it's a prerequisite, there are plenty of successful people I know that don't volunteer or do pro bono, but it's just another way to establish your street cred, almost, so to speak, in this industry, to be like, yes, I believe this, and I walk the walk at the same time.
Wanted to just touch on another part of the, in my view, kind of the legal jobs landscape, and that has to do with both things in the nonprofit sector and in the public sector. So I know when I talk about green jobs more generally, I mention to folks, you know, you can find things in any sector, private, public, nonprofit. And I know, and it's come up a couple times in our conversation, but I wanted to just kind of be kind of as explicit as possible, kind of for particularly for the listeners in terms of opportunities. If you, you know, obviously there's in-house, you can work for a firm, but also if there's anything you can speak to either experience you've had or things that you see given your role at the Planetary Lawyer Project regarding opportunities in those other sectors as well.
So this is great timing because one of the things that we do through the Planetary Lawyer Project is we share job postings, right? We share job openings for what we define as climate related or climate friendly job openings in the legal sector. We just finished a statistical analysis of the jobs we posted through 2022 and 2023, which is 517 legal jobs, which there are probably way more out there. But we were still pleased that over a year and a half, really, we shared 517 jobs. The relationship between jobs in the legal industry and jobs everywhere else is probably the legal industry probably lags behind everyone else because the first hire at a company is a business person, right? Is an accountant, is, you know, a marketing person. The lawyer is a later hire. Even at big companies, the law departments are smaller than the business teams. So I think that there's going to be a correlation and maybe a little bit of a lag between the two things. But we surveyed, you know, what industries were involved. And I was surprised that renewable energy and energy only made up about 25% of the overall climate jobs that we shared. You know, there was about 5% in financial sector, about 5% in food and agriculture, about 5% in technology, a little over 10% in transportation, right? Seeing how diverse it is. But even so, sometimes people look at that and go, 25% in energy, that's huge. Like, let's go there. But that's 25% of a huge number, right? 5% of a big number is a big number. So I just want to tell people that even if we're seeing this distribution, what I take away from it is there's varied things and follow your passions, right? Don't chase something just because it's hot necessarily. There were almost 30% nonprofit jobs. So you're still seeing like a really good balance between those things. I think another interesting statistic that we saw was a third of the jobs that we shared required less than 3 years of experience. So a rather significant portion were entry level. And then there were pretty good distribution across the, you know, from very junior to very senior. So you were seeing jobs at all levels. Doesn't mean these jobs are super easy to get, but it's nice to know. It's nice to know that. And then I think one other thing that was surprising to me was remote work. That percentage was a little bit lower than I was expecting. It's about 20% of jobs were marketed as remote work jobs. And it's interesting that that's at climate companies, right? You know, I think remote work has a climate impact. So it's interesting to see and think about that. And I think they're kind of leaders. I was expecting it to be closer to 40% or something like that.
Interesting. And then for people who want to look at these statistics, I assume people can find them through the Planetary Lawyer Project's website.
Yep, we'll put a link in the show notes for that as well.
Great. Just have maybe a couple more things just wanted to go over. One is I wanted to kind of go maybe look at the macro picture as a whole in that I myself actually have a law degree, never took the bar, didn't practice, but I've done different things in the legal community. And obviously, it's great to hear about all the work that you've done and it's all the opportunities that you see. I do think it's helpful to maybe talk about kind of from a big picture standpoint, why is it important? Why is legal work important when we think about the environment, sustainability, you know, and climate?
I think that there's two real big answers as to why it's important. First is our framework of laws is what guides everything, right? Like, so policy changes, the policies that we have a tremendous power to drive change. That's one reason that the law matters, right? Like the Inflation Reduction Act, you know, Air Pollution Control Act, all of these different things, what's going on with the Supreme Court with different things like Chevron and all of these different deferences to agencies that people are hearing about in the news. Those are all critical things. And so it's happening at that level. But also, there's nothing that doesn't really happen in this world without some kind of a legal overlay, right? Like, you buy and sell something, there's a contract involved. There's a lawyer who drafted that contract. There are people thinking about how every contract can be more climate friendly, more sustainable. And so we're talking not only about the big movers and shakers of the of our world, the policy things, the things that are happening at that level, but also just the fabric on which we live our economic and capital lives, which is so influenced by the law, and that there are ways to make everything a little bit more climate friendly and sustainable. So those are two, you know, sort of, I think, unique ways to climate legal impacts.
Great. And I think part of my kind of my take on this also is that in pursuing this as a pathway with a legal education is a great way to make an impact. And I think people who, let's say, go to law school, ideally, they want to use their legal education kind of to make an impact, because at least from my experience, you know, doing legal work can have its challenges in different ways. And so to be able to feel like you can make a difference can be professionally satisfying, also personally satisfying. If you are going to put in the long hours, if you are going to kind of be working hard, to feel like you're able to be, you can contribute, and also giving people a sense of agency. Because at times, I think when people think about issues around the climate, it's something where it's kind of out of people's control. And so I think, at least from my perspective, the law is definitely a very good pathway to find a way to kind of basically help make an impact on these issues in a tangible way. And you've given lots of examples during our conversation today. Matt, so if you can talk about what motivated you to make a change to kind of do this type of work.
Yeah, so it was sort of a gradual thing that ended up then not happening all at once, which was I was going through a career. It was a very good career. I was happy. I was being paid reasonably, right? Like all of those things. And I did struggle with burnout at times, right? Like the law is a demanding profession. And I wanted to try to get a little more meaning in what I was doing. I wanted to have a little more flexibility and autonomy. And those things all lined up because there was no one at my company at the time that was doing this. And frankly, there weren't that many lawyers who were thinking about this the way that I was thinking about it. So it was a way where I could pivot, increase certain sort of like more traditional metrics of my career that I wanted to increase, while also finding more meaning and being able to, you know, feel good about what I was doing. And so I thought about it, and frankly, it took a while to do it. And there were plenty of times during that process where I thought, it's not going to work. This is stupid. I should do this. I should do that. But in the end, I got some good advice from some friends who just said, don't be an idiot. Keep doing what you're doing. And it worked out for me. And I just kept trying to find what the next right thing to do was. And, you know, I have built what I've built. But it takes time and it takes dedication, but it's worth it.
That's great. So it sounds like it was kind of an incremental process in a sense. And
so
as you look back now on that decision and that arc, kind of how do you feel about that decision? And then how do you feel about kind of the things that you're doing kind of day to day now?
It's kind of hard to believe how far you come, especially when you make those incremental changes, right? Like you take one volunteer project, you write one article, and then like 6 years down the road, you've done dozens of them. And right, like I've gotten some awards recently. You know, there's a list of New Jersey attorneys. I'm based in New Jersey, and they put it out every year, and it's the 50 most influential attorneys. I popped up on that list 3 years ago. I've been on that list 3 years in a row. I look at that list and go, I don't know how I got on this, but it's this journey that I've been on of putting myself out there as a climate focused lawyer and speaking this piece. And I still look at it, go, you know, have a little bit of that imposter syndrome, but look at it going, well, if they put me on the list, it must be true. I guess I'll have to do things that are worthy of that are worthy of being considered like that. So I look back at the incremental journey and just marvel at how far I've come and am very grateful and use it to continue to fuel and not forget where I came from.
At least to me, one of the parts of that story is just the power of taking the first step. You know, I think that's just to be able to, kind of emphasize that with listeners, just taking a first step. And then also, an overnight success is a long-term endeavor. I think that's true for many, many types of things. And so, that first step is clearly the most important one, but the one that's next important is that very next step and then the next step. And so it is this, as you're describing, this incremental process, but then that builds. And so over time, each of those small steps builds into something that's pretty amazing. So I think that's a great story, a great illustration of that.
And I think one of the things that we're talking about is finding meaning in each of those steps, right? Like, I think this goes to the volunteering that we were talking about before of I volunteered because it added a little bit more meaning to my career. It helped me deal with burnout. It helped me deal with, some of the more corporate aspects of the things that I was doing. And so that was one way to find meaning, is to get involved in pro bono, to do volunteering, to get involved in industry groups, connect with people. Those were all ways that I found meaning. And it was important to me to reframe other things that I was doing as meaning, right? Like some of the more traditional things that I was doing, I could reframe them as skills development and think, okay, I may not like this project that I'm working on, but I'm developing a skill that I'm going to be able to use in this project that I really, really want to do, but I'm not ready to do that yet because of X, Y, and Z. So it's important, one, to pursue things that give you meaning, and then two, to really challenge yourself to reframe the things that you have to do to see, okay, maybe I didn't choose this in this way, but how is it helping me? And really just tap into that, because it can really help you to do this work along the long haul, because it is a long haul.
Yeah, no, I think those are powerful points. And one thing that I think we all have within our control is the framing of things that we do. So I do think that's a great tip for people who are listening, who are job seeking or who are just doing work day to day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if there's a web address you want to just to tell people what that, whatever way best people can follow up, be great. We'll certainly include it in the show notes, but if there's anything you want to right now describe so people can make a quick note of that themselves while they're listening, that would be great.
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, right? You can find the newsletter that we've talked about, and we'll include my email as well. I'm happy to answer questions.
Great. So it was great to catch up with you, Matt. Thanks for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Leonard.
Thanks for listening to the Green Jobs Pod with me, Leonard Adler. For more tools to add to your toolbox, check out Green Jobs Network at greenjobs.net. Go to greenjobspod.com to submit your questions and ideas for the podcast. The Green Jobs Pod is produced by Jubilaria Media. Your brand has a story. Jubilaria can help you tell it. Level up your content strategy and click on the link in the show notes to schedule a free consultation.
Hey, Greg, I was thinking, is it me or does, everyone have a podcast?
Frankly, I don't think there are enough podcasts. They're all the rage, and they're incredibly in vogue.
I mean, yeah, look, I guess they are all the rage, but more than 4 million podcasts have been released around the world, and just 17% have been active in the last 90 days. I mean, that's a little ridiculous.
It's not enough. I want more shows. Also, how many of those are actually worth listening to?
Yeah.
I mean, how many have great ideas like moi, right? Check it out. Mm-hmm. It's a show toasted by a dog and a cat. Woof, woof, meow, meow.
I mean, honestly, out of 4 million, Greg, at this point, it's probably been done before. Let's be honest.
Oh, what about, hear me out here, a show about nothing and everything.
Yeah, that's pretty rough, Greg. Look, anybody can make a podcast. Few will continue, and even fewer will have something to say. Build your brand with strategic content and make noise that matters. You have a story. We can tell it. Learn more at jubilaria.com, jubilaria.com.
And then I go,
you're funny, Greg.
I don't think I can sleep tonight.